Welcome to the Uncut 90. I am your host, Tadolakwa, with a few special analysts. First off, we have Ruki.
Hey, it's nice to be back on the other side, not hosting.
Okay, Adele, I see you. Next up, we have Ernesto.
Hey, what's up? It's Ernesto, ground up to the top, several trophies in a few years, leader of the new school. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah. Feel free to increase that volume a little bit. I don't know if you're just using a sexy voice, but no need to be sexy for us, okay? Next up, we have Akwi.
I feel like we need an HR.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
All right. Good to be back. Thank you for being back. Next up, we have Mandem Z.
You already know, man. I've been extremely sidelined, but we thank God for the fans. I'm back. You know what it is. Let's go. New energy.
Okay, Jaden Sancho vibes. Next up, we have Wass. Okay, thank you. I thought there was going to be more. And last but not least, we have George, a.k.a. Lil Pep. Oh, my God. Sorry, I had to mute him. I don't know if you guys were hearing that.
No, he was playing the Nigerian anthem. Why are you muting him?
Yeah, he was playing the Nigerian anthem. Don't do nothing extra. You don't have the capability.
He was playing the Nigerian anthem. Why did you mute him?
Yeah, George, this is like inaudible. I can't.
Wow. So now the system is trying to mute me. They're not trying to let me speak up. That's what you're doing now. I can't play the Nigerian national anthem.
We have to be respectful of our listeners.
I just felt like I had to play because after AFCON, you guys have deprived us from recording. We never spoke about AFCON. If AFCON is not part of this lineup, it has to be part. We have to revisit that final. We have to talk about it. The audience are waiting. They've DM'd me, multiple of them. They want our take. So we actually have to go over AFCON. Let's do that. So it's a bunch of Nigerians.
AFCON happened like months ago. To our listeners, I'm so sorry that we've been gone for such a long time. You know, life has been life.
It's not life.
To make it work. It's life, George. I'm going to mute you again if you don't stop talking.
The system is trying to mute me, guys.
Yo, this is bullying, man.
Let's enjoy the time that we have together, right? Let's not worry about the past.
Why are you talking like you're talking to your girlfriend?
Listen, I'm talking to all the people out there that love this podcast. That love is real. Not the same level, but it's still love. Love is love, right? So what we're going to do this episode, we're going to talk about Champions League to start things off because, I mean, the biggest tournament happening right now, right? No questions. If you're not in it, sorry for you. So a couple of things have happened. We're just going to go through the teams that have qualified and talk about who they would like to see because I think that's the question on everyone's mind before the draw actually happens. So we're going to start with the game that happened today, Atletico Madrid. They beat Inter Milan on penalties. You know, I have people out there, I won't mention their names, they were telling me, Inter Milan is scary. As Popodemos, I said, Inter Milan is not scary. Like, it's Inter Milan. They try, but they just don't have enough. They just don't. So Atletico showed us that. They don't have enough. Wes, I'm going to come to you. From Atletico Madrid's perspective, what team do you want to face in the next round if you had a choice? If you could pick a team, who would you pick? Okay. Feels like a little bit of shade on the Bundesliga teams. We always do this. But, you know, we have a Dortmund representative here. Ruki, I'm going to come to you. Dortmund also made it to the next round. They beat PSV. So they're excited. They're here. I feel like they usually do pretty well in Champions League, despite not getting that much respect over the years. So you just heard Atletico Madrid. They would love to face you, according to Wes. As Dortmund, who do you want to face?
As Dortmund, I would probably, with who's left, want to face PSG.
You say you want to face PSG?
Yeah. Oh, personally, tell us a little bit more. Well, I just feel like looking at how PSG's kind of been this season, they're probably the easiest pick outside. Yeah, they're probably the easiest pick out of everyone who's left. I mean, outside of Mbappe, I'm sorry, I'm not really looking at PSG and going, I'm shaking in my boots.
Okay. So PSG, we do have a PSG representative. I'm going to call you to the floor now, George. I know you're not aware because you came late, but you are representing PSG. PSG obviously made it to the next round. They beat the La Liga team, so sad, Sociedad. If you're PSG, who do you want to face? This is Mbappe's last season, potentially. What team do you want to, you want to face?
I mean, to be honest, like, I feel like Dortmund is a weak link. So every team would like to play Dortmund at this point. But then again, when you look at the head-to-head between Dortmund and PSG, it's not always as straightforward, even though sometimes, or most of the times PSG do come out on top. But I feel like with the teams left, the weakest link is Dortmund. So why not play Dortmund? Yeah.
Okay. So Dortmund looks like everyone wants to face Dortmund. I would just be telling you guys out here, you don't want to face Dortmund. I won't tell you why yet. I'll tell you later in the episode. But you don't want to face Dortmund.
If you knew why, you should be making money right now.
You don't want to face Dortmund. Let's see if Arsenal has a different perspective. Actually, Arsenal is here. I've been hearing people say the curse has been broken. I don't know what curse is broken exactly, but a curse has been broken. All the curses are getting broken. You guys be okay, so by this. Can I? Go ahead.
I don't know if he's finished. That was fantastic.
I'm just setting it up for you. Arsenal made it through to the quarterfinals as well. They beat Porto. They went to penalties, surprisingly. But they did it. They got it done. They're here. It doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you do it. That's what they say. Who do you want to face as Arsenal, since you're breaking curses?
Well, before I start there, I'll start with the curses. The first curse we're breaking is 14 years without getting into the quarterfinals. I don't care what anybody says. After over a decade of not seeing quarterfinals, let us enjoy it. Just let Arsenal fans enjoy this period, please. That being said, I wouldn't mind seeing Dortmund. I don't think they're physical enough to handle our center backs. I definitely wouldn't want to see Atletico Madrid. I think they're compact enough to give us problems, and I think that's where we run into issues. And I mean, if Dortmund is taken, I think it's only right that the fans see Arsenal versus what seems to be a crippled Barcelona at the moment. So let's get Barcelona if we don't get Dortmund. I want them when they're not at full strength, which I assume if we get the draw. When's the fixture, actually? If it's soon.
Friday
is the draw. But, like, when do we play? When's the next round?
So it's late. It has to be like very late in the season. Let me see.
Oh, it's not in 2 weeks? Oh, there's an international break, right?
Hold on. I got you guys.
But if it's soon, I think this is, out of all everybody left, I think if we can face Barca when they're not at full strength, they're facing key players. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy fixture. Everybody knows at this point of the tournaments, there are no easy fixtures. But, if you can't take Dortmund, who you believe is the weakest on paper, then you take the most wounded at the moment. That's looking like Barcelona, no offense. I think that's still a difficult fixture, but now that we've made the quarterfinals, everything's a dream. You have to keep on hoping. You take advantages where you can. I still have confidence in the lads. I don't think anybody's going to, blow us out of there. I think we'll stand our ground. Even if we lose, it's progress. 14 years is a long, long time. But please give us Dortmund. Thank you.
Okay. Real quick, just one question. You mentioned Barcelona. You mentioned them being weak or wounded. Is that like a matter of injuries, or is that just a matter of like this Barcelona period? Like, I just wanted you to clarify.
Injuries. And I'm just speaking strictly to injuries. Whatever else they have going on, I prefer not to speak.
The quarterfinals begin on April 9th.
April 9th, so a month away. So they might be healthy.
Sooner than I thought.
Javi is out. Gavi, Abi. He's out.
Not Javi. Javi will be out, but he's not out yet. He still is.
Gavi, I mean.
Okay, guys.
This is, so Barcelona, first of all, this is a professional
Barcelona injuries as of now. Barca injuries as of now is Frankie de Jong, Pedri, Balde, Ferran Torres, Marcos Alonso, and Gavi. And Rafinha just came back and he's not playing full games.
Frankie de Jong is a big one. I mean, he's really critical to the team.
Frankie de Jong, Pedri, and Ferran. I said Gavi, Frankie, Pedri, Balde, Ferran Torres. Marcos Alonso is a bench player.
I listed
five starters.
When is Frankie expected back?
In about 3 weeks.
So he should be back on time.
Pedri's.
Well, that's not back on time. That means you're missing first leg at least. You don't want to rush him back. Look at what you guys are doing to that boy.
No. It's a problem. And I'll touch on it in my.
Ernest. Let's get to Barcelona. You already heard Arsenal saying, like, listen, they're looking at you. They don't mind. I'm not saying you're the number one, but they don't mind.
I'm not sure that's Barcelona.
Who do you want to face?
It's going to be very anticlimactic. So everybody is calling Dortmund. So for fan service, I'll skip Dortmund.
Okay.
I would go with Atletico Madrid for history. We have a really, really good record against Atleti, especially Xavi. It's pretty much come out on top of him almost every time they've met, like the past 4 years or so. Just a season ago, I would say Real Madrid, but just, what's it called? It seems like we just don't have the squad to do it at this point with all the injuries. But Atleti, we seem to find a way to around them. I don't know if it's Simeone overthinks when he plays Xavi. He always goes and says something funny in the press, and I don't know if he pressures himself and he just loses to Xavi. But I'll say Atleti for getting in Simeone's head. It would be a favorable fixture. For who we don't want to face, I also want to caveat this with the fact that I'm pretty comfortable meeting in most of the teams, just looking at the state that we're in. You know, like the coach himself is on his way out. It's almost like, okay, you've made it to the quarters. Like, now just see how far you can go with what you have left. So you pretty much roll the dice with anybody. But Atleti is the favorite in terms of results. As for who I would not like to face, similar to what Aiqui said, but in reverse, I feel like Arsenal is on the come up, but Barca is also on the come down. So they sort of meet at that point. And what's it called? Yeah, Arsenal are further along in their project. They've hit a rich vein of form. Being consistent in this new project that they're doing. We were kind of on a similar trajectory, but this season sort of imploded with Xavi already on his way out. And I don't know, every game seems to be different. The other thing, like we mentioned, Frankie, Pedri, Balde, Gavi, Torres, that's like five starters. Literally for the past three La Liga weekends, every game I watch, a player goes off injured, at least one. And I don't think it's going to fix itself now. So just all of that being said, and us now being where they are now, I feel like one, they're on a rich, they're on the come up, and two, they are just very emotional. And, you know, it's just going to be annoying. Even if we win, it'll be annoying. Like, just the whole, like, the fans are going to be making the most out of everything. I know the players are going to, like, going into some crazy tackles. It's just going to be very bad. And for that reason, I just wouldn't want to deal with that tie. So
yeah, afraid of Arsenal and their emotion. Basically.
Not afraid of Arsenal.
Listen, okay.
And then I'll choose to face Atleti.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I feel like right now
where football is going. It seems like people just analyze the game based on recent results. I feel like that is where the sport is going. Like, you can even see Robbie Musto, or is it Robbie Musto? Those NBC guys, today they'll tell you that, oh, Spurs is going to win the league. And then 3 weeks down the line, they're going to tell you that, actually, they need a new change of manager. And that's where the sport is going. I don't think Arsenal is a team Barcelona should be afraid of.
Actually, those NBC analysts are trash, but continue.
No, but like, it's not even just them. It's like, in general, everyone just seems to... Wait, what happened? Everyone just seems to sway in the position of whatever team is on form. But what people... Isn't Inter Milan on form right now? Aren't they winning every single game? Didn't they just lose to Atletico Madrid, who just, like, pretty much lost against the weekend? They've been trying this whole season. It doesn't work. They went to the Champions League final last season.
The point is really Arsenal's form. You know, like, if we hear what I said, I was saying they are also very, like, I just wouldn't want to deal with that, because I haven't mentioned even if we win. Because my whole thing is, it's just going to be an annoying tie.
I don't think so. Like, when you look at history, they are actually the team that we want to play. Arsenal is a team that, like, I would like to have to play. Like, what? Because they are beating Sheffield 5-0, West Ham 5-0. The English league is now the farmers league. Like, this, like, guys, come on. They've all those results. When they met Porto, Porto just smacked them, like, left and right. We played Porto home and away. They didn't play us like that. So I feel like a lot of the times, a lot of these analysis on the sport is so much based on, like, recent performances. It doesn't work like that. I'm sorry. If any team, if I'm a Barcelona, if I was like a correspondent from Barcelona, ask me, what team do I want to play? Or what team I don't want to play? I would say Man City. I would say Bayern. Okay.
I appreciate your passion and your input, but we have a correspondent for Barcelona.
I know, but like, as a Barcelona fan, I also feel the need to also give, like, an input.
Yeah, so George wants Barca to face Arsenal. And
I want Dortmund. After Dortmund, I want Atletico.
He said that now, yeah. He said that now,
yeah. Like, I don't think Arsenal will be a team I don't want to play. I don't think they are on that level. Like,
okay. Fair enough. Much, point much. Heard. Let me bring in.
No, Enes said they're on the come up and we're on the come down. Like, come on, like, what?
That's what he did. Like, you can't be on the come down. Look at
the record of when you mentioned all of those things. I'm like, yeah, meet Arsenal in the final 2-1. Take Henri, give them all of those. Like, I think like 8 ties or so that we just beat them back to back to back. From that period to now, Barca has gone down. And from that period to now, Arsenal has gone up. That's what I'm saying.
So what have they gone up to? Like, what have they done? They look good in EPL and it ends there.
Okay. Listen, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Arsenal. Remember, we have an EPL section left. So save your Arsenal thoughts, George. We know they haven't come up to you. We have not gone anywhere. We understand. Mandem, I want to ask you about another La Liga team. Real Madrid also made it for the next round. They've been hot and cold. They made it past Leipzig barely. From Real Madrid's perspective, what team do you want to face?
Okay, so I'll start with the teams I don't want to face from Real Madrid's perspective, right? I think Real Madrid should just stay away from any Spanish team, right? Atleti and Barcelona. Yeah.
Okay.
The reason being that when it comes to this domestic fixtures in UCL, right, it can be very tricky. It usually doesn't have too much to do with form. It has to do with, like, history, the rivalry, and all these things can play a major factor, right? And like you said, Madrid has been, like, hot and cold. So I'll say they should totally stay away from Barcelona and Atleti. I'm not saying they can't play them, they can't win the tie, but just don't go into that little bubble of Spanish rivalry and all this stuff, right? So they should stay away from anything that has got to do with Spanish teams. But then when it comes to the team to face, which nobody has actually mentioned as a first choice, I would say Real Madrid should face an England team. And for an England team, we narrow it down to Arsenal. All right. Like Wes said, it's been, 14 years since they made round of 8, right? Cool. Good job. Like, the curse has been broken. But then we've seen a number of this same squad players try to do it a couple years back, right? Not too long back. Let's say past two seasons. There's been players that are still there. I mean, recruitment has been done, but they are not at that point where they will be able to push through to a Champions League finals. They're going to fall out at a point. And this is not me speaking. This is just the gods talking through me, right? They're not making it to UCL finals, period. So if you want to be the one to just take them out now and, you know, quench that fire, it should Madrid should be looking for Arsenal and just back them in Spain and come and do something little in England, and that's it. Because like George said, everybody's saying Arsenal is on the come up, Arsenal is on the come up. This is big boy levels. Let's be on the field and play. 14 years, you are here. Okay, good job. Round of 8, you've done it. It's okay. Go and come back another time. They're not going to go past Madrid in quarterfinals. It's not happening. So if I were Madrid from their perspective, I would definitely go with Arsenal. Because even Dortmund is tricky. Everybody's writing Dortmund down, but Dortmund is very tricky. Because they're playing like they're going to come in those games like, okay, this is all we got. And those things can be very tricky. That's how Ajax did it a couple seasons back. So do not necessarily be rooting for Dortmund, and get disappointed. Stay away from Spanish teams, face on Arsenal, and just quench the fire, man. Akri, yeah, quench us.
Quench the fire. I like it. You honestly, you have me convinced, because before this episode, I was thinking I don't want to face Arsenal because I just don't, like Ernest said, as much as I want to laugh at him, I don't want to deal with that grad that, like, they're going to be way too hype. I'd rather just face a team that's not, like,
that's too emotional.
That's where it's going to be good. That's where it's going to be. That's the whole point I'm making. They are there, and now it's going to be like, okay, we are here. All that pressure and tension is what's going to drain them and drown them in their own boots. It's going to be so heavy.
I think Madrid can handle us not easily.
It is going to be so heavy for them, man. Like, nerve-wracking. You will see them make crazy mistakes you haven't seen in football for a long time. I promise you, if this happens, you come back and say, man, them, let me have your cash up. I'm just telling you the truth.
Listen, if it happens, we'll see. I want to ask about City because nobody has mentioned.
Don't say we'll see. Just commit. Make a promise. Let's go.
Everyone, one of the teams that sounds like everyone doesn't want to face, even though I've heard the name that much, is City. So, George, I want to come to you from City's perspective, and let's answer both questions. Who do you want to face if you're Manchester City? And who do you not want to face if you're Manchester City?
Can you repeat the question? Sorry.
Oh, you're sleeping. Who do you want to face from Manchester City's perspective, and who do you not want to face?
From Manchester City's perspective, I feel like now you have to look at the game tactically, right? I feel like you have to look at teams that play in a way that you know is going to worry Manchester City. So a team like...
I'll say Atletico is one.
That's the thing. People actually think Atletico Madrid are defensive, but they're not really defensive. I don't know. They don't seem defensive to me.
I feel like they're
compact, not that good defensively anymore. Yeah. They try.
I think
they're
just compact.
I don't think they're even that compact. But with the teams left, I would say, like, I don't know. PSG will worry Man City. I feel like PSG is that team that could worry Manchester City, especially with the fact that Enrique also has like something over Pep. Like Enrique just knows how to play Pep. I would say the thing I want to say Madrid, but the thing with Madrid is if Man City play tiki taka, they will blow Madrid out of the water. Like it will be so simple. Like pretty much the second leg when Madrid went to the Etihad and what they did to them over there. So like it depends on what version of Madrid you get. Let's the one where they score those last minute goals, like that one does not even count. I feel like every single time Man City has played Madrid, they've been very dominant. So Madrid is not a team I don't want to face. I think if anything, I actually want to face Madrid. But like PSG is that team, the way they are built, I feel like they can easily like hurt Manchester City. I would say Bayern is another team as well. Again, Tuchel's record against Pep
Because with Pep, it's just simple. If you have, it's like, you know, if you're that coach that Pep thinks about before he goes to sleep, the chances are you're gonna make him overthink. Yeah. So Tuchel is one of them, and the way Bayern also has it, they have the players, they have the speed. PSG with Enrique, they also have the speed as well.
Who do you want to face at City? I feel like you're sort of saying you don't want to face at City. You would rather not face PSG and Bayern. Want to face?
Who I want to face? I would take. So I mean, everyone will keep mentioning Dortmund, so I'll take Dortmund out. But I'll take a team like, I wouldn't mind Atletico Madrid. I wouldn't mind any of the Spanish teams, to be honest. Even including Barcelona. I wouldn't mind any of those teams. Honestly. Okay.
That's fair. You mentioned Bayern as a team that you don't want to face at City, which is interesting because I look at Bayern as like not really being that strong. Rookie, as Bayern, who do you want to face? Who do you not want to face?
As Bayern, I definitely don't want to face. I don't know what that means. As Bayern, I do not want to face City. As Bayern, I do not want to face Madrid. If I were Bayern, the team that I would want, Arsenal.
Why?
Football heritage.
Okay. That's a good reason. As much as it doesn't, there's no logic behind it, but I know exactly what you mean. It makes complete sense. It makes complete sense. Because I want to say 8-2. I don't know. I haven't eaten though, but you know, if you've eaten too, that's good. Well, I want to ask you, for Atletico Madrid, you didn't tell me the team you don't want to face as Atletico Madrid. So I already know as Atletico, you want to face Dortmund because you want the easy way out. But if there's a team as Atletico Madrid that's the worst matchup for you, what team would that be? Barcelona, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's a good analysis. Real Madrid would definitely beat them. I would love to face them. I want to do... Actually, let's do Arsenal real quick. Same thing. We know you want to face Dortmund because you want the easy way out. You like Barcelona because you think they're injured, so you're still looking for the easy way out. What's the team you don't want to face?
Well, I said earlier, Atletico Madrid. They're just far too physical for us. Both the attackers and the defenders, the Pepe also, they kind of seem to be compact and soak in pressure and give Arsenal problems. Obviously, you've seen Arsenal struggle against teams that, for the most part, hold proper low blocks and defend properly. And that's Atletico to a T. I mean, that's probably the hardest fixture, I think, out of everybody remaining. City, you just never know. By God's grace, you never know. Maybe Rodri is feeling frisky, grabs a red here. You know, anything can happen. But Atletico, just on paper, they're too dangerous.
Okay, fair enough. George, just have a couple more. We're going to wrap this up and go to EPL. George, for PSG, what's the team you don't want to face from PSG's perspective?
For PSG, I guess Madrid is a team I don't want to play. Because, yeah, Madrid has the advantage over them. And I also say Bayern. I don't know. Because I don't think PSG has won against Bayern.
They lost that final. I remember that one. They should have won.
Yeah.
I think they knocked Bayern out in the next UCL. The UCL right after that, they knocked them out.
But okay. Real Madrid and Bayern. Those are the teams that PSG should not want to face. All right. Rookie, the last one comes to you. Dortmund. You've heard everybody wants to face Dortmund. Everybody wants to face Dortmund. You want to face PSG. What's the team that, as Dortmund, you don't want to face? Like, out of all the teams, if everybody's scary, who's the scariest?
Who's the scariest? Probably Real Madrid. I just think that defensively, Dortmund wouldn't be able to handle Madrid.
The funny thing is Madrid low-key is not as smooth when they face German teams for some weird reason.
I don't know that it's even German teams. I feel like Real Madrid, as a Madrid fan, this is a thing that I'm scared of. I'm scared of quote-unquote small teams, and I think of the teams left, Dortmund would be the small team. I feel like for some reason, the guys just, they'd be like, oh, it's Dortmund, whatever. And also teams that just like, if you could just score, if you just have nothing to lose and you can score, like, I don't want to face Dortmund as Real Madrid. Like, that's actually a scary thing for me. I would rather face Bayern. I don't want to face City because I think they're actually just better. But almost every other team, I feel good facing because they're a big name. And I feel like, okay, yeah, we can, if we play our best, we can beat them. Not that we can't beat Dortmund, but will we play our best if it's Dortmund? I feel like we won't.
So it's more so like a psychological thing, you mean?
Oh, 100%. And, like, Dortmund, I still have nightmares from Lewandowski scoring 4 goals. Like, I can never forget. I don't want to face those kinds of teams. Like, yeah, give me anybody but City and Dortmund. All right, so that's Champions League. I feel like we're all excited for Champions League. Any final thoughts, anything that you want to say about Champions League, any big impressions that you've taken away? The floor is open. Do it in an orderly manner if you have anything.
Okay. People were really complaining about how I guess it was a statement and the next one is a question, but people were really complaining about how the round of 16 was kind of dead. But I kind of see what they did there because I saw the vision. It's literally, if you look at it, all of the smaller teams have been weeded out. And the last 8, the knockout stages, all the permutations are pretty much good ties, unless maybe you end up with like a Dortmund versus Atleti, which would be like kind of the lowest traffic, but everything else has like really top ties. So I think it's exciting stuff coming up for the teams that are in there. And then the second part was just want to pose a question to the group, like how people feel about away goals being out of it, because it felt good. My personal take on that is that it felt good when it got taken out, because I felt like teams were losing the whole home advantage because they were scared to concede. And it was kind of annoying to watch a team just sitting back at their home and all of that. But at the same time, wonder if it's taken away some of the drama from it. Like you look at Leipzig versus Real Madrid when it was 1-1 and a goal for Leipzig would have had them go through and Madrid. And then what's it called? Yeah, a goal for Leipzig would have had them go through, so it would have been a whole different like tense scenario. But what it is now is like, okay, it's just an aggregate. If they score, we have time to equalize. I was wondering if people felt like, okay, the away goals rule was taken, it being away was taking anything away, or they preferred it, or they preferred it before where people were just sitting back at home.
Yeah, man, let me play devil's advocate to that question. I've been a big fan of, you know, the iconic away goal thing, right? Like we've seen hearts broken due to that rule. And then we've seen like people get ecstatic, like, hey, man, we won on an away goal. So the whole point of this thing is it's supposed to be like a whole different league from what you have domestically, right? So if we are trying to take away this away goal thing, let's play every game on a neutral ground. If you're a champion, go to someone's home and get that extra, you know, extra goal that, you know, puts you at an advantage. So for me personally, I still believe that rule should have, you know, be maintained, man. Just add some sauce to the whole UCL. I get it. It's not fair because every 90 minutes of football is different from the other. But hey, man, this is Champions League. If you're going to a hostile environment, go score some goals. And, you know, that could help you out at the tail end. But I guess to me, it takes away some of the drama, to be honest. That's how I see it.
I think it definitely takes away the drama. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I do agree with Mandy, man. I feel like it was fun. Like when they had all that weird goal thing, it was actually very fun. Because that one, you're always doing math. Like you're always brushing up on your math every single time.
You see that in every time, like you're on your toes. Okay, if we get two goals and, you know, like, yeah, man, you're coming into the return leg with some drastic tactics. Like it makes it more. Yeah, man, the vibe.
I agree. I'm team away goals. It's just, it's not the same without them.
Exactly.
Yeah, you guys are really going to be hurt. Is it next season the new Champions League format begins? Where it's like...
Basically the Super League.
Bro, yeah, they just legit want to do a Super League.
Because, you know, what I thought about when Ernest said, like, oh, the round of 16 matchups, they're like, ah. I'm like, well, there's no way they can, like, there's nothing they can do because there's the... You win your group versus the teams that didn't win their group. So it's set up that way naturally, as it should be. You should get rewarded for winning your group. And the way it's going to be next season is going to be like, most of the games are going to be like, the way I think it's going to go, we'll see. But most of the games are going to be games that like we don't want to watch. Like group stage games are still kind of interesting now. Like next season is going to be like, who wants to see this big team beat this small team? Like we already know, like, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Real quick, we're going to switch gears. We're going to do some EPL, which is what we usually do on this podcast. If you're listening for the first time, you know, just have to sprinkle in Champions League. So if you're a United fan and you've been waiting, we'll talk about you. Don't worry. If you're a Chelsea fan, we'll talk about you. Don't worry. Let's actually, what we're going to do, very, very short, because, you know, guys, this is my return. I haven't been here for like 2 years, so I'm taking it easy. I don't want to do too much. Not too much yelling, you know, just calm. Analysis. Everybody listens to each other. I appreciate it, guys. What we're going to do, I'm going to give you guys a team. You tell me the one thing that we should be watching out for with this team. The thing that's going to determine their season, how it goes from here on out. If it's going to go up or down, or, you know, they're not going to go anywhere. So we're going to start from the bottom. We're obviously not going to do every EPL team because that's, you know, we don't have time. We'll do the, you know, tradition. We'll do the top six and then the traditional top six team, quote unquote, that's not actually top six. And haven't been for a while. Why? That means I start with you and Chelsea. Chelsea fans are listening right now. I know Vic is somewhere listening right now, ready for you to say something negative. But what's the thing that we should be looking out for with Chelsea that will tell us how this season is going to go? Is it a player? Is it a decision? Is it a tactic? What's the one thing for Chelsea that will determine where the season goes from here on out? They're currently 11th for those that haven't looked at the table. Yeah. good one, yeah. He definitely won't. We know that. And what if everything goes wrong? Okay. 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 Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And yeah, for the, you know, I think maybe I misspoke or maybe I wasn't understood clearly. It didn't have to be positive. It's just the thing that's going to determine how the season goes any direction. But I appreciate you saying something positive. Let's start with positivity. you basically said they have no hope except for other teams doing bad, which is a very hopeless thing to like to tell them. But we appreciate that analysis. What do you think about Cole Palmer as a player? Do you rate him? But he's not good enough to be the best player on that kind of team, is what you're saying. Like really. Yeah. Okay. Ernest, I want to ask you real quick because you seem to care about Cole Palmer. Do you rate him? And if you do, why?
Yeah, I do rate him. I feel like he's not only been a recent form type of player, if you look at it, he's been providing for a poor Chelsea from the beginning of the season. And if you look at even the Community Shield before he got let go, this was supposed to be the season where he started to get some more regular play, not a starter, but like kind of how Foden started, like, okay, come in here and there. He had his chance against Arsenal in the Community Shield, scored a class goal, and the quality was showing. And yeah, like I said, he's been doing it the whole season. It's not like a small sample size, so I feel like he's worth his salt right now. He's also really, really young. How old is he? Like 20?
but
can't be more than 21. He is very young.
Yeah, he's actually really young too. So just having that, obviously you can never predict how these things go, especially English guys. And if you've come to realize that it's not a straight line, yeah, people's progress. But from what he's shown right now throughout the whole season consistently on a poor Chelsea team and his age, I don't see why there's any need to like turn the eye on him, you know?
Dolapo, can I play devil's advocate on Cole Palmer real quick? Give me like...
I don't know which side is going to be.
Yeah, no, right? It's really wild.
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Right, check this out. So Cole Palmer, he's good. I like the guy. He's proven that he's very promising. He's got a whole lot of career ahead of him. But guys, always remember that in the land of the blind, the one-eye man is king.
Facts.
Do you get me? In the land of the blind, the one-eye man is king. Like Chelsea, everybody in there is blind. This is the only guy that is using one eye to look through the lenses. So he's obviously the only one that we are going to praise. And he deserves it. But, you know, just saying. Let's move on.
Okay. Oh, listen. We'll find out over the years who is blind and who is not blind.
Exactly.
If you mind, I'm even coming to you next because your team is next. Manchester United. I was even going to ask you one more Cole Palmer question, but I don't want to feel like I'm trying to attack the guy. I already know how you feel about him. I think I'll let it go there. For Manchester United, what's the one thing that's going to determine how the rest of the season goes? Positive, negative, neutral, whatever. What's the thing that we should be checking for?
If I want to go and dig for a positive, right, I'll go to the under 18 team. They are top of the league. Under
18 team. That's going to determine how the rest of this season goes.
Hey, relax. I'm talking about Manchester United as a whole. Because even Chelsea, when you go to the Premier League table, they are fifth on the table. So that's also positive for them. But yeah, under 18s, United is the top of the league, right? 10 points clear City. So that's one positive that I can look for. But yeah, let's come to the team, man. I feel like he that is down need fear no fall, right? You know what I mean? He that is down need fear no fall. There's nothing else that we can fear at this point. As a loyal, you know, Red Devil, I know that the season has ended. We take it. The season has ended. Now, the little glimpses of things that we can look out for will be, one, if we are able to put some last-minute pressure on Villa and Tottenham and secure fifth place, and eventually, you know, England gets a fit team, you know, in the new Champions League criteria, then that could be one little positive. But even that is a very, very far reach. It is, because United has had the chance to catch up with Villa and Tottenham several times in. They always mess it up, right? When we were on the streak and then we lost to Fulham. So it's far. Now, something that can drastically change the conversation for us this season will be this Sunday. Sunday coming against Liverpool. There's nothing else that could sway the discussion in our favor if we lose again to Liverpool. In the FA Cup. If we get knocked out in the FA Cup against Liverpool, then yes, like I said, he that is down need fear no fall. It's 80% chances we're gonna lose, 20% we're gonna win. That's how I see it. Other things that could happen that we may not see coming would be just the whole revamp of the team, right? That's what some of us are looking forward to. Like the season, we've already counted it down. If you're a true United fan and you know what's going on, you don't have to really think about this season anymore. We got to look forward and see that, okay, the new lads that have come in from the top will effect some great changes for us to, like, recruitment will be done differently. I haven't heard any conversation about Ten Hag getting sacked. I'm not advocating for him to get sacked. I feel like if he's trusted to continue and things change around, he could do better with the team. We've seen him done something better last season. So, yeah, overall, there's not much in there for United. I would say trying to catch up with Tottenham and Villa for that fifth position. And then obviously this Sunday is the big one, man, because that's the only, you know, tournament we are left in apart from the league. So this is a big one. If we're able to make a statement with it, we can ride it to the finals. Even if we don't win that trophy, it's still a statement. It's still something to be excited about. It's still something to be involved in outside of the Premier League. But the league itself, we already know how it's going, man. We have Kobbie Mainoo as the main guy in midfield alongside Casemiro, right? So you can already tell, like, the guy is good, but for his age and everything, he shouldn't be carrying all that weight. He shouldn't be deal with that responsibility at all. And it tells you how much of a struggle United has been through this whole season when it comes to injuries that people don't want to acknowledge. But I'm not going to dive into that. So, yeah, positives, fifth position, win against Liverpool on Sunday. That's basically it for me.
Okay. So just to clarify, you think the best you can do out of this season, let's say you win against Liverpool, everybody's feeling good and the narrative changes. You think the best you could do is fifth?
That's the best. Who okay. are you taking out of the top four?
You never know.
Who are you taking out? Liverpool, City, Arsenal?
Who I exactly? Don't realize that.
Like I said, we need to keep, you know, the foot on the gas for those two. Those two, right? But it's because they're also very inconsistent teams. Like, people mm-hmm. are like, hey, Tottenham, da-da-da-da-da. But they have their moments and then they have their shitty runs. It's the same with Aston Villa. Sometimes you see their games and it's like, are these guys playing football at all? Like, why are they even here? But then when you rate their inconsistencies against United's inconsistency, boy, the gap is huge. It is huge. So if anything could change, like I say, a turning point will be this Sunday. If we can carry on that, get a few players back into the team, who is to say those who are coming from injury, are they even going to come and do something better? You know, there are people I can count on. If I have Martinez and some people back in the team, I know for sure they will deliver. Then we have the ones like Mount, who has not really done anything. I don't hate him. He needs his chance, but hey, we can't really count on all of the injured players as well. So mm-hmm. it's a 50-50 thing. So I don't think that breaking into the top four is going to be that easy. That would be like the climax. And that's why I don't want to go for it, because I know I'm down. So keep the hopes minimal. And if it goes above that, then hey, kudos.
Okay. Fair enough. We're going to go to the next team. Fifth place currently. Tottenham, you were mentioned as an inconsistent team. Ernest, I'm coming to you. What's the one thing that we should be looking for, or that you're looking for, that's going to let you know how the rest of the season is going to go?
I mean, so what I've been looking for, I pretty much have, which is good. So what's like, I was pretty upset with all the harambo. I know last season, I'm pretty sure you guys enjoyed having me here and listening to me go through it. Talking about five back with three DMs and people chipping in, acting like they care and all of that. It's good to see us actually playing good ball. As a Spurs fan in England, you know, you're not going to see any trophies. So at least put on the TV and see something nice. And that's exactly what we have. I still think we are the most exciting team in the league.
Hey. I mean,
so that is, I don't watch Spurs for trophies, and it's good to see us playing well. Now, the objective to get is, what, top four. And Aston Villa is the main competitor. They got battered 4-0 over the weekend, and Spurs have a game in hand. After the game, my guy Ange texted me, and he's like, yo, NSC, that win. I told you, calm down. And I just replied him. I said, are you still employing Brian Gill? That is something that, I don't know, it's a hot button for me. They need to change that. Luckily, it looks like with the emergence of Brennan Johnson and especially Timo Werner, I don't really see much of Gil. So as long as they can keep his game time to a minimum, they should be able to push for the top four. But it's going to be a tough battle with Villa. You know, this game in hand, if we win the game in hand, if we level it with the win, we'll be ahead of Villa by 1 point. But I think it's going to be neck and neck for that fourth spot. I don't think United would be able to catch up to Villa or Spurs. So I think it's just chasing Villa at this time. And I think UCL football would be very good for Spurs. I think with the next format that we spoke about with the UCL,
next season. I feel like the group of four was hard for Spurs and all that, because like group of four quality European teams, Spurs struggles. But if you're in a group table and you just have to be your top 8 or top 12 or whatever, I feel like Spurs can pull that off and make a decent run in that. So they need to push for UCL. But I'm happy with the board they're playing. Like, they just need to keep doing what they're doing. Son is doing good. Richarlison should come back. He's picked up serious form. It's like he heard that Gabriel Jesus beef and like took it personally. So we need to keep doing that. The boys are also back. Like Madison is back. Van de Ven is back. We thank God. So yeah, I think keep doing it. Bench Brian Hill and keep going.
So your most important thing is just keeping up the same intensity or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you can play this attacking ball, you beat more teams and you could catch up to Villa. But yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. No complaints here.
Okay. George, you wanted to say something?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say that Brian Hill is actually a Dolapo player. So, yes. Ernest was saying it the whole time. I thought he was going to mention it, but he didn't mention it. But yeah, guys, Dolapo spotted Brian Hill, and then he thought he was going to be great, and he called him, but he's not been great. Also, like, what's the points difference between United and Spurs and Villa?
Let me look it up.
It's six points and eight points.
And United have a game in hand.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they have a game. They have a game over Spurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tottenham has a game in hand.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean, to be fair, nice. He admitted that when nice. He was saying it.
I think my notes should go watch on the 18th.
I think the fact that Spurs is actually playing attacking football, that's the only reason I maybe don't see United making it. But I don't think it's as straightforward as you guys are making it seem. Like, oh, so United is out of it. They're done. Nah, I don't think so.
Nah,
trust me. I don't think... The only reason I'm saying I want to agree with you guys is because, like, I see Spurs actually doing something. But if it was Spurs under, let's say, Conte or whatever, like, I wouldn't write it off. I'll still, like, give United a chance. It's only 8 points. I mean, if Spurs wins your game, then it's like what?
It'll be nine points.
Yeah. It's only three games, man.
We've seen Liverpool
play trash the whole season, and then the last 10 games they just decide to turn up. We've seen that happen. G-get, I wouldn't write it off just yet. There's a lot of games to play. There's like 10 games to go. Like, I would not write it off yet. It's only three games.
The reason why I don't think United can catch up is like, if you have such a big point gap, you need to be consistent chasing the team above.
Right.
You know, the team above will flop, but you also need to be putting strings together. I can predict when United has come to drop points because they usually lose a game after they win. Like the Fulham game, like it's like they came after like a good performance against what was it called? They beat Luton. They came from like four game winning streak. Then straight to Fulham L. Then they beat Nottingham. Then City L. And then they've beaten Everton.
Yeah. The next game. Let me see their next game.
Next mostly just from L. Yeah.
That's a fuck.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yo, guys, but like, yo, actually, nah. I'm looking at
this. No, so, George, I have to jump in. Exactly. I am looking at the fixtures, too. And the next four games, out of the next four games, three of them are away. That one game at home.
Listen, it's like you guys didn't listen.
That one game at home is against Liverpool. I understand that, and I hear you guys, but this guy wants to bring up fixtures. Fixtures are not in their favor. The next four games, no. The next four games, three of them are away. The one game at home is Liverpool. And we don't want to see another. It's like, what are we doing here?
No, but when you look at
Brentford away, Chelsea away, Liverpool at home, Bournemouth away, they just put up four on Luton. Is United's defense much better than Luton's? We'll come back to that later. Newcastle at home, Burnley at home.
Listen, guys,
you can get 6 points there.
You guys,
Crystal Palace away.
You guys are gonna hear Arsenal from me at home, here.
Brighton away.
That there's gonna be a top four race. And I'm telling you guys are hearing it here. There's going to be a top four race at the end of the season, and United is going to be a part of it. Whether they're going to make top four, I don't know. But they're actually going to be part of it.
But they'll be running.
They will be. You know the way they added Arsenal to the title. They added Arsenal to the title race. They will add United to the top four. Guess what?
Gulapo. I've said everything there is to say about
United. Yeah, let's move like, on, guys.
What are we doing?
So they just wanted to talk about United a little bit. I can't sometimes exactly. I can't talk to people, you know. But Ruki, we're gonna come to you, a United fan. I heard what you said about United, low key. You have Aston Villa. You guys are currently in fourth. Aston Villa is in fourth. What's the one thing that we should be looking for, or that you'll be looking for, that's gonna determine how the rest of the season goes? If Tottenham catches them, if they end up in a race with United, like what's gonna determine that for you?
Man, look. I'm just happy to be representing a top four team tonight.
And you wonder why Dolapo said I'm the most loyal United fan?
It was a joke.
Mind them would never make that joke.
Good for him. As a top four contender, as a true top four contender, for Aston Villa, I would definitely be concerned about Tottenham's form at the moment, especially now that they are getting their players back from injury. Then looking at the fixtures, that's another thing to look at. I do think Tottenham has a harder run-in than Villa. Let me see. Yeah. So Tottenham still has to face, they have to face Luton, they're not just some, walkover team. I know, but what I'm saying is, like, it's not an easy game. Okay. It's like the top six teams, they've gotten points off of all the top six teams, I think. So far this season, Luton Town. So it's not just a walk in the park. And then after that, Tottenham plays West Ham. Pretty sure they can take West Ham. But they do have to go to St. James's Park and play Newcastle. They have yet to play City, Arsenal, and then go to Anfield to face Liverpool, which is 2 weeks before the end of the season. So that's not going to be easy. Even though Spurs have a game in hand and they have to play, I feel like I'm missing a game, but okay. Anyway, then looking at Villa's fixtures, the most difficult games, I would say they have to go to Emirates to play Arsenal, and then they host Chelsea, host Liverpool, and they host Liverpool the week before the season ends. So I think Villa has better fixtures. What I think is going to be the deciding factor, though, is how long Villa actually lasts in the Conference League. So if I'm Villa, personally, you kind of just have to decide what's more important to you, finishing top four or potentially winning a trophy. Now, I haven't been following Conference League, so let me see what teams are left. And then we can decide off of that if it's worth it. All right. So,
and I think to your point, Emery's going to take it seriously. He always takes tournaments, European tournaments, seriously. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, they play Ajax. Right now, the aggregate score. So, they've already played the first leg, and it was a 0-0 draw. So honestly, tomorrow it could go either way. After Ajax, I mean, the rest of the teams, I'm not really here afraid of any of them. I know Fenerbahce has been having a great season over in Turkey, so they're still in it, and they are leading the aggregate. And then I guess Fiorentina and Olympiacos are the most difficult teams left in Conference League. But for me, I think it really depends how much longer they're in Conference League, and they just really need to worry about Tottenham breathing down their necks.
And just a point of clarification. So what you're saying is the longer that they're in Conference League, the worse you think their season is going to go in the EPL.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Like, we know Villa's going to try.
I think if they get out of Conference League, they'll be fine for top four, but you never know.
Yeah. It kind of brings attention to how impressive the season has been that they are doing it while playing in Europe. George, I want to talk to you about Manchester City, the team that everyone thought was going to win the league. They're currently in third in this, you know, this three-team race that we have for the EPL. What's the number one thing that's going to determine whether or not City can win the league this season or not? Like, what's the thing that we should be looking for or checking for?
I think it's just one. We all know it at this point. I've made a lot of noise about it. If Rodri gets injured today, that's pretty much the end of their season. If Rodri gets a red card, I mean, how many matches do you get banned if you get a red card? Three, right?
Depending if it's straight or double yellows, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so it does depend. But three is the most you would get.
Yeah. So it all depends on Rodri, his presence. If Rodri is fit from now to the end of the season, I don't see what's stopping them. Like, I don't see who is going to stop them. I don't see what is going to hinder them. They're going to do it. So it all boils down to Rodri and Pep has to keep him fit. Why? You know, I mean, it's hard. To be honest, it's hard getting a replacement for a DM to play that kind of football that Pep is playing. You don't have, like, that profile on the market right now. Like, yeah, you know, there are different types of players. But, like, even with Rodri, it had to take him, like, two seasons to learn to get to the level he's at right now. So, even though, like, you know, in Atletico Madrid, we still, you know, we saw his potential and all that. So, like, he was good. But, like, to play that type of football, it's not easy to get that profile on the market right now. So, I don't know. I don't know how Pep would do without him because they don't really have, like, a DM right now in that team. So, it all boils down to Rodri, man. He has to be fit. He's a core. He's a heartbeat of that team. He's the battle cry now. But he's that guy. The main important player in that Man City team is Rodri. So he has
Rodri.
But yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I feel like he emphasizing that he's a main important player.
Yeah, I have to emphasize it because you guys saw it. When Rodri was not fit, City did not win a single game.
Funny because I haven't recorded this podcast in a while, so I'm like missing the agenda cues. I'm just like, yeah, Rodri is important. This is true. I'm not doing that. About Rodri.
No, Rodri. But like that is what it is, though.
It's not about Rodri.
I missed that. Like, I completely missed that. Okay, Rodri is important. What did you think about the game versus City?
What game versus City?
I mean, sorry, the game versus Liverpool.
Oh, the game versus Liverpool. Did I even watch? Oh, yeah, I watched Madrid of that game. Did I? I can't remember. Yeah, anyways, I don't know, man. I've actually not been keeping track. But that game, so I don't know what happened, man. I think what is going on is Liverpool, like right now, Liverpool, they have that thing that low-key Barcelona has right now. It's weird. It's kind of
the manager's leaving.
The manager's leaving. So these guys are playing like they want to, like, you know, send them off in the best way possible. And usually when you're
playing, and vibes.
Yeah, when you're playing teams like that, it's almost like the talent does not matter. Tactics, like, they always find extra. You get, they always go and find something. Like, all of a sudden, like, a player that maybe cannot give a 20-yard pass is given a 25-yard pass. You're like, guy, where did
that bribe you?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it's just one of those. It's just weird. So I think that was what was going on. It's almost like, and also with Trent's comments, I actually thought, like, you know, City was going to just, like, they were going to, like, those comments that Trent passed, I thought it was going to ginger Man City more. But it did. It did at the start of the season. I mean, at the start of the game, where they were pretty much dominating. But towards the end of the second half, I'm like, damn, these guys were okay to just take a draw, which is fine. But, like, what do you call it? Yeah, is that, like, Klopp coming out saying he's leaving? I think if Man City does not win the league, it's definitely going to go to Liverpool, because these guys are just going to try any and everything possible to get past the line. And also, I don't understand, like, I feel like with a team like Liverpool, they've been in this before, right? The reason I'm not even counting Arsenal is because I feel like Liverpool has been in this before. And for Pep to even win his first league title, I don't know if you guys remember this, this guy had to, like, forfeit every single competition and just focus on the league.
That's how you remember it? He had to forfeit?
Yes. Guy, the FA Cup, Carabao Cup, this guy did not... He went to call the academy guys to come play. Like...
How about Champions League?
Yeah, the Champions League, that one, Atletico Madrid took them out. But, like, I'm saying, those cup competitions, they had to just, like, you know, forfeit those competitions quickly. And even the Champions League, that one, like, I don't know. It's Liverpool.
Forfeited. No, we understand.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, man, I think, what was the question? The question was, what did I think? I think, yeah, they have that thing going on. They have that club thing. Like, it's weird. Because I'm seeing the same thing with Barcelona right now. It's kind of weird right now, but, like, yeah.
I feel like Klopp knew what he was doing when he announced that he did, because that's just not really common.
At the middle.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Yeah. He knew what he was doing. Okay, when Sir Alex Ferguson, you think there weren't leaks when Sir Alex Ferguson was going to retire? Okay, and you believe that.
That's what they said.
Klopp knew what he was doing.
It is crazy. I feel like you can't hide information anymore.
Okay, and that's fair. Klopp still knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Wes, I want to ask you about Liverpool and about Klopp. George kind of brought up one of the factors that could be just the fact that Klopp is leaving, the team is gingered, you know, season of destiny, send him off on a good note. But for you, from your perspective, what's the one thing that's going to determine how the rest of the Liverpool season goes from this point forward?
He's back.
Salah is back. Uh-huh. Yeah, he played over the weekend.
lesser known.
Austin, you can count on players in the team, man. Like people who are not big wigs and stuff. Yeah, man. You just hit the nail right on the head because like a team for like, yeah. For example, a team like United, who is who? 100 million self know they do anything. So who be who? You know. So it's something that is good for Liverpool actually.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate that. And, you know, I think that's a good point you bring up about Liverpool, the squad players, the random players, lesser-known players. Looks like they're going to need them. Coming into the season, I actually was down on Liverpool because I'm like, I didn't really rely on Javi Elliott and who's that George player, Curtis Jones.
But you see all of a sudden, my boy Curtis Jones, all of a sudden Klopp is utilizing the guy like he's supposed to utilize him. Did you get?
Is the guy doing anything?
That's the thing. He was actually doing well. Like, the Liverpool fans were crying that a guy got injured. Curtis Jones. Anyways, but, like, you get what I'm saying? It's like, what happened? Why? What's wrong? His name cannot...
Stop.
Yeah, watch, please.
I don't get it.
Not my watch, man. It's okay. But Curtis Jones has been playing well, according to George. Oh, man.
Yeah, you guys lost me, man. I don't get it.
It's okay. So, yeah, what's last his team,
huh?
We saved.
What's his name?
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
It's
okay, guys. Last team we saved, you know, the best for last, top of the league, as you would hear out there in the street. Arsenal is currently number one. They made it to the next round of Champions League. We talked about that already. So Akra, I want to come to you. What's the number one thing that you're going to be looking out for, that we should be looking out for, that's going to determine the way that Arsenal season is going to go from here on out?
Wow, top of the league. Wow, that's crazy. I have several points. The main thing you have to look at that will honestly just decide the rest of the season is that City game that's upcoming. If we can get a result there, I think it really sets the stage for the run-in at the end. It's just going to be amazing. But again, you know, if it goes the other way, that's a completely different story. That being said, I want to point to George's comment about it just being recency bias with Arsenal. I know maybe he doesn't watch as frequently as he should, but Arsenal have been consistent in this for two seasons going now. Last season, they said, oh, you guys are going to hate bottling the season. You're not going to smell a chance again. Fast forward 1 year, here we are again. I don't know why we're going to continue discounting Mikel Arteta. I don't know what he has to do until we have to give him credits for the piece of work that he's put together so far. Everybody, yes, we're not Real Madrid. Yes, we're not Manchester City. But we can't become as good as those teams overnight. The failure to acknowledge the progress that Arsenal, even, we'll see how that game against City goes. I think it's a real measure of where we are now, where we can go, our progress thus far. It was a really good game against them earlier in the season. We need to do it again. You know, that's how you win leagues. So I just pray that my enemies are silenced in these coming fixtures. But, I mean, as football fans, we have to put the bias and the banter aside and just acknowledge the piece of work that Mikel Arteta has put together, please. But watch out for that City fixture. That's really going to set the stage for the rest of the season.
It's
both Champions League and Premier League.
It's just setting the stage.
Okay. Don't worry about it, guys, because you know you guys aren't.
So let me ask you for some clarification about that fixture, right? So that's I believe that's your next EPL game is against City.
Correct.
So are you saying that if you guys win the league, if you win the game, what does that mean? If you don't win, right? Like, let's just take those two scenarios. If you win, if you don't win, is it results based? Or is it performance based? Like, what are you really looking for in that game? Do you just want 3 points, or do you want 1 point?
I mean, to be honest, the perfect scenario is good performance and 3 points, but beggars can't be choosers. I will take my 3 points and a nonsense performance and move on. Like, what are we talking about here? I mean, I would imagine getting a good performance and then still losing. What am I going to do with that? I can't. No, those days have passed. That's part of the progress. You know, it's like you can have those good performances. We know you're capable of that. But when everything is on the line and you need a result, who wants to see beautiful? I don't need to be excited. Listen, 14 years of starvation is enough. I don't need the excitement. I need silverware. I need results. And slowly but surely it's coming. We need to keep up that consistency. It's an exciting time. But this is the decider. This is where you really get a measure of, okay, the project we've put together so far, we've built the foundation, we've added on top of that. Now it's supposed to really start building that fruition. You want to see the players do one well. And then Arteta as well, do well tactically. He's failed tactically many times, even this season. I know he's still a young manager, he's still developing, but you cannot get this one wrong. I don't want to see any, like, this. We, everybody from the person lining the grass that day, everything has to be perfect. Everybody has to up that game, like Giannis was saying. I don't want to hear story. I'm that fixture. I'm there pre-game. It is the game of the season. We're here. It's now.
Let's go. Okay. So let me just ask one more question. So you said you would love a good performance and 3 points. And you would love 3 points, even with a bad performance, which I think is understandable. How do you feel about 1 point? Like, if that game is a draw, what does that mean? Like, how should we take that? Before it happens, in case it happens. But what is a draw?
So the only way a draw is acceptable is dependent on what Liverpool does, right? In the position we are now, we have to. A draw is a loss, to be honest. Like, in terms of what's up for grabs, a draw is a loss. Unless Liverpool now lose or draw as well. But you can't afford to. I think any slip up here, you're on the outside. Look, you can't even. There's no room for that. Like, these teams are just too good. And you know the quality they have. You can't take that risk.
Okay. Fair enough. So, Arsenal, you're looking for the City game determines everything. That is the season. Season
on the line. Okay. I'm not saying that's the season. That's not what you said. That wasn't the question you asked. That's what you said.
It said this is the game of the season. This determines everything.
I said this is the game of the season.
It determines everything.
It's coming. Yeah, it doesn't determine everything. Yeah, but that's what I still said. Think I've mentioned it before. Please let me finish.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
The point here is that it cannot determine the season when we've already made progress. When you've had 14 years of starvation and no Champions League quarterfinals, to come back to the Champions League time in how many years and then now break that curse and go to the quarterfinals, that's progress. Nobody can tell me otherwise. That's progress. However, if we now stumble like we did last season and kind of crash out, it's still a disappointing end. You have to call a spade. Now I've lost my trail of thought because of us. But you see what I'm saying.
It's very, very clear and understandable. Thank you guys for sharing, the things that we should be looking for. Listeners, you know what to look for now, right? You know, for Arsenal, you're looking for that City game. That's everything. For City, all that matters is Rodri. Rodri being available. For Liverpool, it's also about the squad players. Can Rhino play?
Rodri is important.
For Aston, Rodri is important. Very, very important. For Aston Villa, how far do they go in Europe is going to determine their EPL status. So that's, interesting. For Tottenham Hotspur, they just have to keep the same energy and keep playing sexy football. That's all Ernest wants. Exciting football. And they'll be okay. Yeah, thank you. I didn't hear what you said, but thank you. For United, hope is not lost, but it's almost lost. But the future is coming. The next generation is coming. Under 18 team is on fire. So that's what the season is about for them. And FA Cup is going to help them, maybe galvanize the team. And then the last one, Chelsea, Cole Palmer just has to keep playing out of his mind. And hopefully other teams don't play well, so Chelsea can go up. Or if other teams play bad, Chelsea will go down. Or whatever I just said. You guys know what's going to happen. Let's do final words. We're going to wrap up this episode of the Uncut 90 in 90 minutes. Anybody that's against that, disconnect now. All right, disconnect now. Man Demzee, I'm going to start with you. Final words.
Final words, man. You know, first of all, I appreciate you guys having me on here. It's always good to be here, man, and, you know, talk to people who have some good depth analysis and agendas on the board. Also, I need everybody to know, especially my Nigerian friends, right? The gods are not to be played with. When I say something, you come with respect, you come with humility, and this goes out to Vic. Your team is struggling. Your country disappointed you. So next time, before you get in the zone, know how to talk to the representative of the gods. And also, I need to be crowned when it comes to these predictions and these huge calls, man. These huge calls. Like, come to me. Let's talk it out. If you want me to pour some libation for you, we'll do that. Shout out to United friends out there, those that still support. Heat that is down. Need fear no fall. Like I said already, the season is over. Let's hope that Sunday we can make some magic. And, you know, just relish something good. You know, have some energy and enjoy the game. Even if we lose, let's lose in a good way. So, peace out. I'll see you guys again. That's what's up.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. George, final word.
Damn. So my final words, who is it going to go to? It's going to go to Arsenal fans. I want you guys to keep pushing in the Champions League. Keep playing in the Champions League. Give it your all. You understand? Keep going. Don't let anything stop you. At the end of the season, you will finish the season trophyless. That's what's going to happen. You're going to keep pushing, waste time, go play extra time in the quarterfinals. Hopefully, you guys will make you be lucky. You get to the semifinals. Keep going, Whilst your friends. No, they will not get to the finals. Whilst your friends, Man City, they've done this. They've been there. They've done this multiple times, year in, year out. Liverpool, been there, done it, year in, year out. You guys, instead of you want to win the league, forfeit the Champions League. You don't want to. You want to progress. You want to talk about progress. You're going to the quarterfinal. Okay, we are here. You will finish the season trophyless, but just keep pushing. I want you guys to keep going. Go to the semifinals. You think playing the Champions League is a joke? We are here. We are here for you guys. We are here.
Okay. We are in fact here for them, whatever happens. Akwi, final words.
Top of the league. Arsenal football. Top of the league. Come on, you Gunners. You already know what time it is. Let's go into... I think we're even at home, Seb. They're coming to our house. Are we going to... They're coming to our house, I'm pretty sure. Regardless, Gunners, let's show up for the lads. It's simple. We're top of the league. We have to maintain. Haters can continue to hit. Hopefully, we see them in Champions League soon. And hopefully, they keep the same energy. We'll see you guys soon. Top of the league.
Okay. For the record, the game is going to be at the Etihad. everything you said stands. Top of the league.
In their ground, too. We go.
It just sounds as convincing. Okay. Fair enough. Rookie, final words.
Sorry. The two guys going back and forth just threw me off. Final words go shout out to Kate Abdo handling yesterday's nonsense like a boss. And then my other final word real quick, Ramadan Mubarak to our followers who partake in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes. Thank you so much. Shout out to all of them.
Shout out to all of them. You're part of them. Like, what are you saying, bro?
What do you mean? Yeah, but guys, I'm a neutral party on this podcast. We know that. I have no identity. I simply pass the mic back and forth.
You can't be neutral when it comes to your religion, though. That's not something you can be neutral.
People that know. There's no secret about it. We're still fasting. I'm not eating because of you guys. I'm still just drinking water.
You need to be doing this more often, though.
Okay, yes. Thank you. You too. Arnett, final words.
Final words. There's a few here. Shout outs to Barça Femini, the international women's. Why are you laughing?
Nah, I'm listening to you. Go ahead, man.
Okay, anyways. Shout out to Barça Femini, the Barcelona women's team, the women's. International Women's Month, obviously, went 79 games, with 79 games win streak. It wasn't even a draw. 79 games win is unheard of. It just shows you the magic happening in Catalonia more than a club. They got that snapped by Levante, and they bounced back with a 7-1 win against Sociedad. Amazing stuff. So shout out to all the women out there doing their thing. Barca on the top. Shout out to Lamine Yamal. He decided a 0-0 game recently with the Wonder Strike. Guy is 16. Amazing. People are saying he's 28. Some people are saying he's 21 now. That's how good he is. So that's crazy. These last two are adjacent, but Antoine Semenyo scored 2 goals today. Shout out to the Ghana boys doing their thing. Brings me to the last point. Ghana, so teams are announcing that they have friendlies with Ghana Black Stars. So Uganda announced that they have a friendly with Ghana Black Stars. Nigeria announced that they have a friendly with Black Stars. And that's next week. Nigeria announced it and brought their squad list. And Uganda also announced and brought their squad list. Ghana has not only not announced that they have a friendly, they haven't called players and they don't have a coach and they don't have a technical team. So I don't know if the coach to be has told the players who is going to call ahead of time, but this is just unprecedented stuff from a footballing nation, the country that prides themselves on football. So it's just wild scenes. Like, please call a coach and announce the friendly and let's tell the players who are coming that they are coming so that they know and they can ask their team to let them go. And then we see what happens in the match. But yeah, those are my final words. Shout out Barca, Femini, shout out Lamine Yamal, shout out Semenya.
Okay, thank you. You know what's going to happen is Ghana is going to win those games. Like, just because of all the chaos, it guarantees they're going to win. Like, that's what always happens. Last but not least, Wash, final words. How are you winning?
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you. Very well said. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Thank you guys for being on this episode and sharing your thoughts. We'll be back very, very shortly. Peace.